part two. Several weeks ago when I was up here, I told y'all that I stumbled upon four questions that Jesus asked in Scripture. And once I started getting into those questions and writing about it and stuff, I could see that I wasn't going to be able to get to all four of them. So I promised you that I would the next time I was up. And so this is it. If you'll want to think back about that last message, it may be hard to remember because it's been several weeks, but the first question was, do you see this woman? It was in Luke 7:44, and it was when Jesus was with Simon the Pharisee at his house, and there was this woman there that was taking care of Jesus. It was washing his feet, that was getting him everything that he needed, was taking care of him. And he turned to Simon and said, do you see this woman? This is how you should be serving. We went into that. The next question was, has no one judged you guilty? John 8:10. And this is when the woman caught in adultery was about to be stoned. And Jesus steps up and says, you guys that have never sinned, y'all go ahead and start throwing. And of course, nobody could do that. And the stone started hitting the ground. That particular Saturday night, we had stones all over the room. I put them in your chairs so you could not get one. And then we came and we dropped our own stone because that woman may have been beating herself up. And we have a tendency to do that ourselves. And so we that night we dropped the stone. Part two. And like I said before, we're looking at, these are just pretty simple questions in Scripture, but they're so big once you dive into it. You know, Jesus says one little tiny sentence that means so much. And until you look into it, you don't know that it means that much. Our next question is, does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not? That's from Luke 14:3. And so when I read that just in itself, we're going to talk about religious laws. Ooh, yuck. I don't want to talk about religious laws. But here, Jesus is about to give the Pharisees fits. Okay, and I understand that in this room, there's a lot of folks that have been going to church for a long time, and there's some people in this room that have been Christian just a little while. And so I started thinking about this as I read this scripture, that there's words and phrases in here that if you don't know, if you haven't been taught, then you might not even understand what I'm reading. So we're going to go and hit those. If you'll turn to Luke 14:1-6. Luke 14:1-6. And it says, on a Sabbath day, when Jesus went to eat at the home of the leading Pharisee. Okay, remember that word, Pharisee. We'll come back to that. The people were watching Jesus very closely. And in front of him was a man with dropsy. Okay, as soon as I read that word, I was like, what the heck is dropsy? I've never heard that term before, dropsy. So I went to looking it up, and it's a edema, swelling, excess water. So I picture this man that is swollen up everywhere, and he's retaining water to the point that he can't even walk. And in front of him was a man with dropsy. Jesus said to the Pharisee and experts of the law, is it right or wrong to heal on the Sabbath? But they would not answer his question. So Jesus took the man, healed him, and sent him on his way. Jesus said to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Okay, there's something else we're going to talk about, the law. If your child or ox falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not pull him out quickly? And they could not answer him. that's kind of sad, isn't it? They were so stuck to the law that if your child, they couldn't answer Jesus. They couldn't say, yeah, if my child falls down in a well, I don't care what day it is, I'm going after him. They were so focused on the law. So I mentioned there's a couple of words in there, and if you're a brand new Christian and stuff, what is the word Pharisee? What is the word Pharisee? What does that mean? Of course, I use Google. Pharisee, a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by strict observance of the traditions and written law and commonly held in pretension to superior sanctity. A self-righteous person or hypocrite was the definition right under that. Who the Pharisees were, they were the religious leaders of the time of Jesus. They were the religious leaders in that time. I hear the word Pharisee and I think holier than thou. They were self-righteous. They were pointing out everyone else's faults while they had a lot of faults of their own. So there's what a Pharisee. Okay, I mentioned the law. If you're a new Christian, that might not make sense to you. What is the law? I've heard it called the law of Moses. And the Pharisees believed that the law God gave Moses was twofold, consisting of the written law and oral law, the teachings of the prophets, and the oral traditions of the Jewish people. Okay, so this law is in the Bible, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's basically the law. But where in Scripture is there these laws? Where in Scripture is that? Well, I went to searching. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are introduced, in Exodus 20. Now, there's all these laws that run through Leviticus. There's some crazy stuff in there. I'd advise if you want to read it for entertainment, that's pretty good, but there's some crazy stuff in there. Sometimes I have Pharisees in my life that want to take me to Brahms and talk to me about some of these laws. And one time this guy calls me, he says, man, I want to buy you lunch at Brahms. I'll buy you a hamburger and stuff. And absolutely, let's go do that. Well, we sat down. We finished eating, and he goes, well, here's the real reason here. I want to talk to you. I said, what about, man? I thought, you know, he's asking for some advice on something or whatever. He says, you've been a Christian a long time. You've turned your will and your life over to the care of God many years ago, but you still keep getting tattoos. I said, yes. He said, well, right there in Scripture, it says, don't mark your body, Leviticus law. Don't mark your body or get any tattoos. Don't cut yourself. And I said, and this man that was sitting across from me, he was completely shaved head. He was completely bald, shaved his head, and clean-shaven face. I said, well, let's pull it out. You know, we didn't have a Bible on us. We had Bible apps on our phone and stuff. I said, do you know where that's at? And we looked, and I told him, you know, it's in Leviticus 19:28. I've heard it 1,000 times. I said, I want you to look at the Scripture directly above that one. Have you ever read that? Have you ever read that Scripture directly above that one? Of course, you didn't know where the other one was, but have you read the Scripture above that? He says, no. I said, let's read it together. You must not cut the hair on the sides of your head or cut the edges of your beard. The Scripture directly above it. He called me out on my tattoos, but the Scripture directly above it. I looked across the table at him. I said, I guess we're both living in sin. He goes, I'm going to get a tattoo tomorrow. That's just an example of what I'm talking about when I talk about these Leviticus laws, the laws in the first five books of the Bible. They were given to folks because these folks didn't know how to live. The reason there was a law about putting marks on yourself, tattoos per se, is because they were showing allegiance to other gods at that time by marking their bodies to show allegiance. The law above that one, it was a law to not cut the sides of your hair. And you've probably seen those folks in modern times where they have long sideburns. They got long hair coming down right here. But that was to set God's people apart. That was so people would know that you're God's people. See, so all these laws, this kind of stuff doesn't apply to us today. But let's get back to the question. Is it right or wrong to heal people on the Sabbath? And Jesus answers this question in Mark 2:27. It says, "Then Jesus said to the Pharisee," now we know what Pharisees are, "the Sabbath day was made to help people." It was made to help me. The Sabbath day was made to help people. "They were not made to be ruled by the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath day." So what about all those religious laws? Do we just forget about them now? We don't pay any attention to that kind of stuff anymore. It's like it was written in the Bible, but it doesn't mean anything. No. Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think," this is Jesus talking, "do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them."
Amen.
It's been fulfilled. The law has been fulfilled by Jesus. And through Jesus, we have a new covenant. Now, I said, so does that mean we don't pay attention to any of the Old Testament laws and stuff? Let me ask you this. One of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not murder." You think we might want to pay attention to that one?
Yeah.
Right? Don't steal, right? Some of these things are applicable. Something like that. Some of these things we need to have today. Yes, we need to have those in our mind and today. So, no, you don't take the whole law and throw it out. And you have to look and say, what was going on in that time? What was going on in that time that they needed to have a law to keep people from doing X, Y, Z? You know? So, through Jesus, we have a new covenant. And we have a new testament. A new testament. So you know the Bible is broken up in Old Testament, New Testament. Through Jesus, we have this new testament. Matthew 22:40 says, "And all the law and all of the prophets hang on these two commands." What is that? What two commands? Love God with all your heart and love each other. All the other laws fall under that. But to do that, I must pray. What would Jesus do? I have to. So y'all pray it with me. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbors, you bless me. Amen.
Amen.
So I did all that so we could get to this next question. And so as I read the scripture and the story, when I say those words, you guys that are maybe new to following God and following Jesus will actually understand what I'm talking about. So the next question is John 5:6. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? When I read that question, I tried to take it and just focus on the question, where does that take my mind? It took me back to 2004. when I came in to my sister-in-law's house after I just got out of detox. And she asked me to come to her bedroom and sit down, and she was going to talk to me about some stuff. And she looked at me and said, I've been going to AA. I've been going to recovery groups, and it's helped me. Do you want to get well? Those words were said to me. If you want to get well, then I know what to do. Do you have a desire to have recovery? Are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to do the things that they ask you? Believe in Jesus. Believe that He can do it. And He can make you well. So let's read where this question came from. John 5, 1 through 11. Later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a special Jewish feast. In Jerusalem, there is a pool with five covered porches, which is called Bethesda in the Jewish language. This pool is near the sheep gate. Many sick people were lying on the porches besides the pool. Some were blind, some were crippled, and some were paralyzed. A man was lying there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw the man and knew that he had been sick for such a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, there is no one to help me get in the pool when the water starts moving. While I'm coming to the water, someone else always gets in before me." Then Jesus said to the man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Verse 9, and immediately the man was well. I wished it worked like that for me. Immediately the man was well. He picked up his mat and began to walk. The day this happened was a Sabbath day. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "Today is the Sabbath. It's against our law for you to carry your mat on a Sabbath day." But he answered, "The man who made me well told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Can you see what the Pharisees were focused on? They had known this man for 38 years to be crippled. For 38 years, this man could not get into the water. They knew he was crippled. But when they saw him carrying his mat and walking, they said, "You're not supposed to be carrying your mat and walking on the Sabbath." Not, "Whoa, how did you? You're walking." That would have blown my mind. I've known you for 38 years and you couldn't get up, and now you're walking. They were so stuck in their traditions and laws that they could not even see the miracle that was before their very eyes.
Yeah.
Sad. Sad. So my question for you tonight, do you want to be made well?
Yes.
I'm glad I got an answer.
Yes. Come on. Really, really, yes.
Let me tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I got sick, diverticulitis. Oh, man, I'm in pain. Go to the hospital. They say, "Well, you're going to have surgery." And so I spent about a week there getting pumped full of antibiotics and stuff to heal the infection that was already going on. And then they were going to do the surgery. I went through that week, got to feeling a little bit better, and they said, "Okay, time for the surgery." My doctor comes in, he does the surgery, and then tells us that he's got to go out of the country. He's going on vacation. So he does the surgery, and then he's out of the country for 10 days. So the next morning, I get up, I'm in a lot of pain and everything. But I'd been there a while already, and I was really wanting to go home. And so the next morning, they let me go home. As they was rolling me out, though, I was like, "Well, I don't feel good, but I had surgery, you know?" I'm like, "Maybe I just feel crappy because I had surgery." We got home, and Trina started taking my temperature, and I had fever. And she says, thank God I'm married to a nurse. She says, that ain't right. You're not supposed to be having fever after surgery. She says, we're getting back in the car and headed back to the hospital. We got into the hospital, and we're in the ER, and she's arguing with the ER doctor about, you know, fix him or something, you know, and they was trying to send me home, and she stood up and said, no, you're not. You're not sending him home. Put him in the hospital. If he's better tomorrow, then we'll go. So he went ahead and did it. He stuck me in the hospital. I continued to run fever all through the night, all the next day. Other doctors came in. It's a long, long story, but I ended up for several days getting CT scans, all kinds of junk, them trying to figure out why I was still running fever and in such pain. People from this church came up and anointed me with oil. People from this church and other churches came up, read scripture over me. They read scripture over me as they prayed for me. They would spend half a day with me praying the whole time. I had a fellow say that, hey, I'm glad you're here and everything, and he prayed for me, and then he sat down, and I fell asleep, and I looked over, and hey, I didn't know you're still here. He said, I've been sitting here just praying for you the whole time. I've been speaking scripture over you and praying over you. I had a lot of that going on. So 24 days later, I get out. But I jumped ahead. My doctor came home 10 days later, right? My doctor came home 10 days later, and he says, man, they have ran every test that they could possibly run to try to figure out what is going on. He said, there's one other test we hadn't run, and you're not going to like it. We're going in through the backside. So they went in through the backside, and they found it. It was a 2-centimeter leak. My intestines were leaking the fluids back into my system. He came into the room, and he said, I found it, finally. There's a 2-centimeter leak in your intestines and stuff. And he said, let me tell you something. This is crazy, the strangest thing. It's healing itself. I said, huh? He said, no, it's healing itself. If I would have been here 2 weeks ago, I would have had to cut you back open, and you might have had a colostomy bag and this and that and the other. He goes, but it's strange. It's healing itself, so we're just going to let it keep going. And they pumped me full of, you know, other junk and stuff, and I couldn't eat anything. 24 days later, I got out, and it was healed. He said, I don't understand, you know, it's just fixing itself. I said, I understand. I said, God said, if these doctors are not going to do anything about it, I will, because I've had people ask me to. I've had people speak in scripture over this guy. So I'll step in and fix it. I always pray when people are sick and or having surgeries or whatever, you know, I pray that God just takes it and fix it and everything. But if you choose to use man to do it, then perfect, because you made man smart enough to be able to fix you. Well, these smart men wasn't doing it, so God said, I will. And so that's what happened to me there. I got cured by the power of Scripture and prayer. Amen. By the power of Scripture and prayer. It fixed itself. No, it didn't. God started fixing it. God fixed it. The power of Scripture. Hebrews 4:12. God's word is alive and working and is sharper than any double-edged sword. Isaiah 55:10-11. Rain and snow fall from the sky and don't return without watering the ground. They cause the plants to sprout and grow, making seeds for the farmer and bread for the people. Listen to this. The same thing is true of the words I speak. They will not return to me empty, They make the things happen that I want to happen, and they succeed in doing what I send them to do. So, you guys know that I like to make you feel uncomfortable.
Amen.
Okay. Step one says that we admit that we are powerless over the things that hurt us and that our lives have become unmanageable. Step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So if you look at step one, we are powerless. Step two, we're getting some power. Right? So I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you to please stand up. If you deal with depression, anxiety, addiction, relationship issues, or physical pain, I'm going to speak scripture over you. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lord, there's many people that deal with depression, anxiety, addiction, relationship, and physical pain. Lord, I ask that you hear this scripture spoke over them tonight. I ask that you hear this prayer, that you send angels from heaven to wrap around them. Lord, help them feel the presence of your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stay standing. Here's one for you. And this, I put this second because it might be a little bit easier on people. Stand if you deal with self-esteem, pride, and ego. It almost looks like everybody in the room stood on the first one. I'm going to read this scripture over you. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Lord in heaven, my weaknesses, our character defects, self-esteem, my pride, my ego, those are hard things to deal with. But by your word and prayer, we shall overcome. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stay standing. Stand if you are dealing with loss, grief. Loss and grief. I want to read scripture over you. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted.
Amen.
And saves the crushed in spirit. Lord, the past couple of years, there's been a lot of loss in this room. Just recently with my mom, lost her brother, and she's experienced grief. She's experiencing the loss. Lord, but I'm asking that this scripture, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Lord, help us to get over this. Help us. I don't believe it's something you ever get over, but I think it's something that we can rejoice in. Help us to rejoice in loss. My brother John and his mom. I see the way John responds to his mom and the passing of his mother. It was a rejoicing time. Yes, we're going to miss these people. But we can rejoice in the fact that they're well.
Amen.
They have been made well.
Amen.
And the last one. Please stand if sin is an issue in your life. He tried to stand up again. There shouldn't be anyone sitting still. I don't think we can get around this one. There's not that, you know, you just can't get around that one. A friend of mine, Ryan, down in Lingleville, he has a really large church. And he did something similar to this. And he had a few people stand up here and there. And it was really well received. And when I was thinking about this for this church, I went through that first list. And I'm like, everybody's going to stand up on the first list.
They did.
This whole room's been standing the whole time. We don't have a problem admitting. We don't have a problem admitting. And we know the power comes from Jesus. So let me read scripture over all of us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted more beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also, listen, provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's the key to that scripture. He provides a way of escape from our sin. Lord, your word says that no temptation has overtaken you. You know them all. Please help us, Lord, to continue seeking the way of escape through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Let's worship.